Have you ever wanted to change the world, to change it for the better? Charles Wesley, the famous hymn writer and brother of John Wesley, the famous preacher, wanted to change what he saw around him in 18th century England. In 1744, Charles Wesley was a 31-year-old Christian man who saw hundreds of orphan children roaming the city streets of his day. And he also recognised the huge divide that existed between the rich and poor across Britain. It bothered him. It upset him. One day, reading his Bible, Wesley found a verse of reassuring hope in the book of Haggai. You see, Haggai had been upset too. He got upset by the fact that the temple, the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, which had been destroyed by the Babylonian army, still lay in ruins. Nobody had bothered to start restoring it, even though all the exiles were now back in Jerusalem after decades away as prisoners in Babylon. Haggai's powerful preaching got the people of Israel building once more, as they recognized the dishonor that they had shown to Almighty God by neglecting his house. And it was after that rebuilding work had started that the message of hope came. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. Charles Wesley read those words and it filled him with fresh hope. He knew it spoke of the Lord's first coming, when Jesus, the Messiah and Son of God, would teach in the temple, filling it with his glorious presence. And then, through his atoning death and resurrection, he would draw people of all nations to himself, just as Haggai foretold. In the glorious kingdom of God that Jesus established, all are welcome, whatever a person's nationality or status or wealth. Jesus shook up the world order to its foundations, so that the last will be first, and the first will be last. And with a humble and the poor find rich blessings. In the Haggai scripture, Wesley also recognised that the ultimate shake-up will come when Jesus returns. The writer to the Hebrews quotes Haggai in saying, at that time, referring to Jesus' first coming, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The return of Jesus, you see, will bring a shake-up of cosmic proportions. For Charles Wesley, after reading Haggai chapter 2, what did he do next? Well, he sat down and wrote the words of the hymn we're focusing on today. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. It's a hymn full of expectancy, of hope, of longing. It's also a hymn that expresses some of the great outcomes of the gospel. For a start, there's the theme of freedom. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. When Jesus was born into the Israel of 2,000 years ago, he was born into a nation which felt enslaved to the law of Moses, a law they tried so hard to keep but couldn't. They felt trapped, unable to please God and unable to reach God. But in his letter to the Galatians, Paul explains that, in fact, the law was given to Israel partly so that the people would realize they couldn't win God's approval by their own efforts. The law, Paul says, was put in charge to lead us to Christ. car seats and safety belts for young children are a very good idea. But toddlers can get very frustrated when they can't get out. Try as they might, they can't unbuckle the belt or get out of the seat, even as they get a bit older and believe that they can. They need help. You hear parents say to a frustrated, impatient child who is desperate to get out of the car, "Do you want my help or don't you?" The child nods reluctantly and they're set free. They admit their need for help, and of course, it's right there for them. The people of Israel were stuck, trapped, wanting to be set free, and Jesus was right there for them. He once declared, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And isn't that our experience if we know and love Jesus? We've been set free. All those aspects of our lives that entrapped us and weighed us down, perhaps most especially a deep sense of guilt and shame over failings in our lives. Well, that weight, that shackle is gone, broken and shattered into pieces. We couldn't do it, but he could. Jesus could. The Savior who came to set us free by dying for our sins on the cross. The Apostle Paul writes, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law." Those words, "when the set time had fully come," think of God's timing in all this. The Roman Empire ruled, and good Roman roads allowed people and the gospel to travel. The Greek language was the common written language, so the good news of Jesus could spread quickly right across the empire. The old mythological gods of Greece and Rome were losing their hold on the people, so that the people were hungry for something real and satisfying. The Old Testament law had prepared men and women for Christ. They longed to be set free from it. And as we've already heard, Jesus came to do just that, to set people free. If you like, he rescued us out of the dungeons of the castle and put us in the palace, sat right next to him, the heir to the throne. We've been adopted as co-heirs with Christ. Paul writes, "God sent his Son that we might receive adoption to sonship." In the ancient world, only sons had the right to inherit. So to be inclusive, Paul says that we're all sons. We all have the right to inherit, whether we're men or women. Just earlier in the letter of Galatians, Paul wrote what were for the times revolutionary words about the kingdom of God. He said, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ." I'm sure Charles Wesley loved that verse. That's the equality he knew that the gospel offered. And as he saw those young orphans dashing around the city streets of England, he also knew that our loving Heavenly Father offered them, as he offers all of us, adoption into his family. That adoption is made possible by Jesus' redeeming work, giving us the opportunity to become children of God. And the proof that we truly are God's children is the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. Paul writes, "Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.'" That work of the Spirit in us as God's adopted children is another theme Wesley takes up in his hymn. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. And it's so good to be under God's loving rule after being trapped by foolishly attempting to rule our own lives, our own way, thinking we knew better than the God who made us. Paul writes, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. One of the great sadnesses of our world is that it is so little recognized how the Creator God wants to bless and enrich the lives of those he has made. Millions walk this earth with no idea of how valued, how precious they are in God's sight. That is why the student ministry of Amy and Lauren, of which you've heard, is so important. Do support them if you can. When Charles Wesley saw those orphans in Britain, his heart went out to them. I hope you and I have got hearts like that. Hearts who long for justice and fairness that only the gospel can truly bring. Wesley knew, even if others didn't, that through the saving work of Jesus, the God of the universe can offer adoption as sons, daughters, and heirs with Christ to all he has made. And such adoption comes with very lavish blessing, as you'd expect from Almighty God. Now, to reflect something of this generous, embracing heart of God, the UK evangelist Chris Candia and his wife have adopted 8 children. I heard Chris speak at the Justice Conference just 3 years ago, and he told us the story of how he and his wife decided to adopt so many kids to show the love and care of our loving Heavenly Father. Check out Chris's story in his book, Home for Good. Finally, as I close, it's generally believed that Wesley was greatly influenced in his life by the Christian writer and philosopher Blaise Pascal. In particular, it's probable that the most famous sentence Pascal ever penned was in Wesley's mind as he wrote the words of Come, thou long-expected Jesus. Pascal had written, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person that cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God, the Creator. This Advent season, may many in our world discover the truth of those words. And may we ourselves cherish the fact that we know them to be true. For by God's grace, we have discovered a freedom, an acceptance and welcome and adoption by the living God that is beyond all we could have ever dreamed of. And the best is still yet to come. So come, thou long expected Jesus. Amen.